Well, thank you very much. We have around about 10 minutes to go, and I know you guys have questions, Indio. Very many questions. So what we're going to do is we'll take them in batches of at least three, so that we're able to cover in the little time left. So I'll take three from this section first, and then come that way. Let me start with this section. So one, two at the back, three going once, going twice. Okay, let's take those two first. There's a microphone there. We can start with the one at the back.
First and foremost, thank you very much for taking us in such a short span of the Bible. The question is, I've always heard that Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. And you talked about the arrangement. So if Job was the oldest book of the Bible, why do we have Genesis as the first book? And then in terms of language, if language is changing in 30 years, are we going to have a Bible in Sheng?
Right. Okay. So the order of the Bible in terms of chronology is the first question. Second? And Sheng Bible, whether we'll have a Sheng Bible. Okay.
Okay, there are these guys who have been reading the Hebrew Bible nowadays, and they call Jesus Yahusha, and they call God the Father. And they say if you call him Jesus, your prayers won't reach.
Just come again.
Okay, there are these people who read the Hebrew Bible nowadays, yeah? Okay. Online on YouTube, mm-hmm. And they call Jesus Yahusha, and because that's the name that he is called. And you know, the Bible says, we shall know you by his name. You know, his name is a strong tower. So if you use Jesus, they say it doesn't work because Yahusha is his real name.
The name of Jesus in Hebrew and the Greek translation that we use today as Jesus.
Yes, so this one, the one we use is fake, according to them.
Okay.
So is it wrong? Is it okay to call him Jesus?
Okay.
And then in the second question, in summary, where are in some books in the Bible, like the book of Enoch? I don't know if she touched on that or it passed me, but yeah, and then who decided which ones will be inspired, and then that will end up with the 66. Yeah.
Okay. So your question, the latter question is, who actually made the decision for the 27? Because we've talked about the process, maybe just clarification on who sat and made that decision, if there was actually a group of people for the 66. Okay, let me just take one more from, yes, the lady in green, Ruto, here. Then we'll take more after these are answered. So just one more.
Okay, thank you. I have two questions. One is, when you say that the versions depend on technological changes, and yet, technology keeps changing every now and then. So, why is it that translating these versions depends on something that is not dependable? Like, technology keeps changing, and technology is things of the world. Why do we have to depend on technology? So, my other question is, I've heard that in the past, especially NIV 2011, it was written by someone who was, part of people who wrote the NIV 2011, some of them were not born again, like one person. So my question is, how can someone who is not born again write things of God and yet they don't have a relationship with God? How is that possible? Thank you.
All right. I think we'll take that first batch of questions and then take more after.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the many questions. Very good questions indeed. Let me start with the one for Job. The Bible is not ordered according to chronology. Chronology is age of the Bible. So the Bible is not ordered according to chronology. Actually, the ordering of the Bible was according to, it is thematized. It is according to themes. So you get the Torah, or the Tanakh, no, not the Torah, which is five books of Moses, and then on, and then the prophets, and on. And those decisions were taken by the rabbinic scholars, the Judaism or Judaic scholars. And so it's not about age. Actually, the issue of age is very much debatable many times. So you need to again look, and in fact, your question makes me curious. I'm going home to study and look when the book of Job was done in terms of chronology. It's a good question. But what I know for a fact is that the Bible is not organized chronologically. It's more thematized. That is why, for example, even in the order, some canons even put the book of the later books, the book of the epistles are put at the end in some of the canons because of the way they thematize. So it's not chronology. Now, shall we have a Sheng Bible? That has been discussed significantly. And it is likely there will be a Sheng Bible. Let me explain why. A Sheng Bible means you are recognizing that there are families where the parents know no other language. They only speak Sheng. And they bear children who know no other language. They know no Gikuyu, whatever, Kijaluo. They just speak the language of the parents. So it's almost like Pidgin. For a long time, nobody would recognize Pidgin as a language, but lo and behold, even the Bibles exist now in Pidgin because a population that speaks that language begins to exist. So yes, it's been discussed. In fact, there's even discussed a dictionary. Somebody told me it might be existing, a dictionary on Sheng. And once you codify, that is codification, then you are on the way to having a Bible. Now, the question on Yeshua, actually the Hebrew is Yeshua. Not Jesus. Jesus is the Greek rendering, the Greek pronunciation, the Greek rendering of a name. It's just like, my name is Margaret, but if I go to other parts of the world, they won't call me Margaret, they will say Margarita. And then when you are with my mother and my people in Rift Valley, they will say Margaret. And that's the way they, even today, they don't say Margaret. Nobody even knows. They will just say Margaret. And that is it. I still respond and say yes. So the issue of using the version of a language does not change your name. It doesn't. But in the scripture, it is Yeshua, the Hebrew. And so some people have come up with teachings like that. But I don't think it really holds water. That when you say Jesus, you're not referring to the Christ, Jesus the Christ. In fact, the way he deals with people. Have you heard of Muslims who have never really known Jesus, but when Jesus appears, they know him? Yeah, so Christ, let's not lock Jesus into a house. Even the buildings could not keep him. And then the book of Enoch is one of the pseudepigraphic books. Okay? Pseudepigraphic books. Enoch was one of the books that never made it to the canon. But it is, there are writings by Enoch. There are even others of the Gospel of Thomas and others. There are very many. So don't be troubled. There are so many writings. But I think what we are saying is that the fathers of faith, the people that came before us that were closer to those things, they searched, they selected, they took time. It took many centuries checking these things. You can actually in today's world, be confident because our canon is closed. So we can be confident that the decisions they took were okay. So who made the decisions? It is the people that were making decisions in those days. And actually some of the literature tells you, like I don't like the Council of Carthage. Council of Carthage was in 16th century. That's very late. But the 4th century, 2nd century and others, please look at the literature and you can actually identify who did some of the thinking. Was it led of the Spirit? I know many people are very concerned of that. Was this work led by the Spirit of God? I don't know how you would answer that. Was it led by the Spirit of God? How does the Spirit of God, somebody says to us sometimes, if you say it was inspired, how does it happen? How does it happen? It is inspired of God. That's what Scripture says. We started with that. So how does he do it? Now, that is a question that if you are able to answer it in your lifetime, you are very, very fortunate. His spirit is doing a mighty work. It's like, let me give you an illustration. Two, there is something that is called the bride of Christ. Bride of Christ. And God is doing a work in the bride of Christ and will present her perfect. Have you read that scripture? How is that one happening when you see us, the way we will behave and on and on? It goes beyond our head, but Jesus is at work, right? Let me give you another one. This lady, you stand, Modoni, if you don't mind. When God looks at this lady, God looks at the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand how that works? Do you? No. And yet in God's eyes, it is very special. This person called Modoni, this person, that person is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that matter, I'm just using those as illustrations to say this about all these narratives, when we hear, were they inspired? I think we have confidence to know that God is at work. Even in those journeys, he is at work, absolutely at work. That we don't need to doubt our Bible, but read our Bible, the scriptures that God has given us. We've received. I was born Protestant, so I received the Protestant 66. It's likely if I was born Catholic, I would have received 81. If I was born Orthodox, I would have received the other. But that one, I will not argue for long on that. And then the other one, NIV. No, somebody says versions are dependent on technological changes. I really didn't say that. I'm sorry if you heard that. There is no version of the Bible that is dependent on technology. Technology is assisting in the translation of the Bible, that it helps us to check accuracy. It helps us to keep the Bible in the phone that you can actually access your. So it doesn't the Bible, the versions do not depend on technology. Technology assists in translation. So I really don't know how that person got that understanding. Actually, the Bibles that you see in technological gadgets are exactly the replica most of the time, at least the ones I have. Have you seen YouVersion? Have you seen the gadget called YouVersion? I can attest to you that is exactly the Bible. You go to Bible Society of Kenya and get the manuscript from somebody called Mwangi and compare it with what you see in YouVersion. It's identical. It's exactly the Bible read in the villages. You see it in YouVersion. So the technology does not damage anything. NIV 2011. I don't know. Okay, let me put it this way. I don't know who asked that question. There's so much that has been going on NIV. And every time they go and then they come back after 10 years and then they come back after 7 years or 5 years. A lot of it is falsehood. A lot of it is falsehood. All of it probably is falsehood. So NIV is a carefully translated text. As to whether there was somebody among them that was not born again, I cannot say that one. I cannot vet that myself. I don't know. It is likely that some of the scholars who translated, it's likely that there's somebody who may not have been saved. I don't know about that. I have come across translations where some of the translators are not born again. So I would not rule out that possibility. Then the question you have is, how then does somebody who doesn't have the Spirit of God translate? That is a very difficult question. So some of the translating agencies insist the ones who translate must be born again. Others go to Muslim lands. When you go to a place where there are only Muslims and God has asked you to translate the scripture, like in Uzbekistan, when I went to Uzbekistan and worked with translators there, some of the translators did not know Jesus. And yet, that community needs the gospel. So, what happens? There are people called gatekeepers. Translation consultants are gatekeepers. They take care and make sure that nothing passes through before they have checked every verse. And then there are also translators in the group who check because it is teamwork. So there's a lot of safeguards that actually protects that no error goes through. But that doesn't mean people are fallible, so sometimes the errors can get through. But I'm just saying there are things that protect the process. I think I'll stop there. Amen? So don't be scared about NIV. Please read your Bible. Don't fear about it. NIV is a good Bible.
All right. Next set of questions. We'll start with one here. Right at the back, and this lady. Okay, let's do three first. Okay. You can start here.
Okay. My question one on NIV is about the 2011 version, and simply it's because the issue of the gender neutrality that they added, whereby in verses which initially we just had brothers, we now have brothers and sisters. The other question is to do with some missing verses, whereby on the footnote, they will note that a particular verse has been omitted, or at times you'll find that a set of verses is italicized, that is mainly in NIV, and then they'll give an explanation about that text appearing in a particular manuscript. And then, in regards to some of the verses, and also about books, I'd want to know about some of the books that are referred to, especially in the Book of Chronicles. So, for instance, I can read from 2 Chronicles, chapter 12, from verse 15, that says, "As for the events of Rehoboam's reign, from beginning to end, are they not written in the records of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer that deal with genealogies?" So to me, my question is always, where are the texts of Shemaiah the prophet and Iddo the seer, so that you know I can continue with that particular story?
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Thank you. Because of time, I'll ask that you keep your questions very brief. Eh? Yeah.
So my question is, I wanted to ask about authorship, because you said that the people that authored the Bible were quite key. So my question is that should we expect to see those people in our midst today as well? In other words, like, should we expect to see like new parts of the Bible being revealed to people and therefore like it being added on? And then the other question is, what do we then say to people that argue today that the Bible is actually outdated, in the sense that the people that chose the books that were put in what is the Bible today, you know, I imagine that they were actually influenced by their society and that sort of thing. So how do we respond to people that say parts of the Bible today are actually outdated and therefore should not be followed?
Just clarify your first question.
So my first question was about authorship, because So we talked about like the apostles and all those people that were sort of like, you know, that had these divine revelations, sort of like to have their words be authoritative. So should we assume that we also have people today that have the same authority to basically write new parts of the Bible? Like, should we expect the same authority today, or like, was that only during that time and therefore there is no people today that have the same level of authority?
Okay, thanks. Last question, the guy at the back.
Okay, my question is on extra biblical revelations. How are we supposed to interpret that? Because in our day and age, pastors and our friends are coming and telling us that, "I saw this in a dream, Jesus came and told me this." So how can we interpret that from the Bible?
Wow, that's a good question. Sorry? No, he's talking about extra-biblical revelation. The dreams that people have, do they hold the same authority, I think is what he's asking, as the scriptures?
You have some of the best questions I've ever heard. Any theologians in the house? Now I need theologians. They're there. Their theologians are there. Thank you. They will help me. Extra biblical revelations. Help us with that one. Okay. NIV. Now, the questions asked on NIV, they are really, really pertinent, because you see this a lot on, is it social media or... You see this a lot in many conversations of people doubting and wondering what is going on. What you see in NIV is actually what you will see in Bibles which were translated from the 60s. Any Bible, pick any Bible from the 60s going forward. Because by that time, we had the Qumran findings, we had the Dead Sea Scrolls. So what happened was, those manuscripts which were discovered at that time were found to be older manuscripts older. Usually they're about the Old Testament. They were older manuscripts. The older the manuscript, the more reliable. Can I repeat that? The older the manuscript, the better, the more reliable. Because a lot of scripture was done by hand. And as people wrote, and those of you who've studied Hebrew, in fact, they introduced the vowels. You know those vowels in Hebrew? The dots. You know, the three dots, what, you know, those things. So, over the centuries, and by the way, those people were diligent. Those who were taking care of the scriptures were very diligent. But it is still possible to make an error and put two dots when you meant one. Or even three when you meant two. And so it changes the meaning in Hebrew. Those who know Hebrew, you know what I'm talking about. So that when you get a manuscript that is older and says something different, you trust that one more than the one that has been used, that has been in existence. Are you there with me? Yes, that's really important. So, when they found from 1960s, you find that they don't throw away the earlier rendering because the manuscripts used in King James, for example, was much younger. Much younger. So there are so many things that even people's notes, the rabbi's notes, the scholar's notes were part and parcel, interpretations. So because of that, they now go to the old renderings, but they tell you older manuscripts or some manuscripts. That's why they put it in the footnote. So I'm glad you've really raised that because people say it's not there. And when you tell them, read your Bible, is it there in the footnote? They say, yes, but it is not in the text. They are there. Normally they have agreed that they will not remove them. If it is necessary to leave them, they put them in footnotes. So that's a very good question. You'll actually find even RSV has done the same. Most of the revisions after that, they've done the same. And actually all the new, pick all the new Bibles, you'll find they behave the same way because of that philosophy. Now, 2 Chronicles 12:15. He reads and it says something like Shemaiah the prophet, Iddo the, what is it? The seer and Iddo the prophet. And he's wondering, where are these books? Because it says, you now are authenticating my speech today. There were so many writings, some of them never made to the canon. But that tells you within the rabbinic literature, there was a lot of literature that indicated that. So yes, it is true, you get curious when you reach there. And then somebody says, if authorship is key, can somebody today author and be inspired, like those who are apostolic and, you know, apostles and what have you? No, that's not the question. Authorship is key. Can we add some more these days? I think that was the question, isn't it? What we meant by authorship is key is that the people that were determining which one were the original writings, the writers. Okay, let me start it again. The writings that were there, they needed to determine which ones were actually written by apostles or people associated with the apostles. Like Luke says, he had checked it out with somebody who was an apostle. And I think Mark does the same. So that they may not have been the ones right, they may not have been the ones who saw the thing, but the persons who told them was one of the apostles. Are you there with me? So it is really a witness of what Jesus did. So it's not somebody, and you know, not any Deacon Harry saying today, I'm an apostle in my church. And so that is really the context, isn't it? Yeah, you cannot, the present day apostles, no, we are not thinking about it in that way. The canon for the Protestants is actually a closed canon. We cannot add again, at least as we understand it. Bible, some people say the Bible is outdated. How do we respond? I really appreciate this question because you hear it again and again. In fact, the scholars, there was this one, a number of the scholars here would argue that books like 1st, 2nd Peter, actually they argue that the apocalyptic books, the apocalyptic books like Revelation should not be in the Bible. They say it is embarrassing to have them in the Bible. So people have many reasons why they want to remove the books of the Bible. Many reasons. But as a young person and an older person, read some of these so that you are aware. So when somebody says to you things like that, you can smile and know that you understand something about how the canon came to be. It's not something you just touch and throw and cut and, you know, and on and on. So how do you respond? I think you respond simply that the Word of God is authoritative as is, even when you don't understand it. Even if you don't like it in the culture, it doesn't mean it is out. It still means it's the Word of God. You adjust. It's not the Word of God adjusting to you, but yourself adjusting. I think that's a very good question. I wish we could have another time. How do we respond to people who say things like that? Because contemporary society will tell us all sorts of things, including the one you mentioned, sir. In some of the literature, Hebrew, for example, because I read Hebrew, you clearly see it is saying a man. But society tells us, why are you saying a man? Why don't you also say a man and a woman? So, brothers and sisters, they call it inclusive. Inclusive. Have you heard of that terminology? Yes, that's society. That's the pressures from society. The goodness for us in Africa is that our languages are already inclusive. It's built inclusively. So nikisema watu walifanya hivi. I'm not talking of gender, you know. In other words, there's a lot about our languages that helps us not to be in the same ditch as English is in terms of gender. I don't know how I could explain that, maybe another time. But yes, that inclusivity you can even see. So they say brothers, but when you read the text, actually say men. But when you understand also how Hebrew meant some of the terms, like for example, the one of Genesis, Adam. Adam is, if you read the Kiswahili one is more correct. Adam ni binadamu. Like you say, binadamu, it is not male and female. I mean, it's not male, it is female and female. So they are right in some instances. That is why it's good to read Hebrew and Greek, so that you can decipher for yourself. Extra biblical revelation. The theologian. Do you want to help me on that? Please. What do we do with when I get a dream? And I what do I do with dreams and things like those?
Praise God, Church. So my name is Simon Peter. I'm a student of theology at Park, fourth year. So an explanation. Who asked the question? Okay, so thank you so much. So you get a dream, you can, three interpretations, the response to a dream, a couple of times I have had a dream, but there's a special dream that comes, and even in your mind you're like, hey, this is not a normal kind of dream. So sometimes you can understand the dream, sometimes you cannot understand. In case you understand and you get the meaning, you go on and if let's say God is calling you to be a missioner and you have understood the dream, you go on and you inquire how you can become a missioner. That is number one. If you have not understood the dream, the Bible says that test every spirit. So you ask God, surely if you are the one who gave me this dream, it can also happen that you ask God to give you the same dream so that if you dream about it again, you are more cautious and you ask of the Spirit of God for the interpretation of the dream. Is that one helping?
Praise the Lord. I think we cannot end dreams in the Bible. First, because as we have hand from the probe, one of the things was high witness. The reason why we have that kind of high witness was key. So if you get a dream, the Bible says God speaks in different ways. He speaks in the nature, he'll speak the scripture, he'll speak in the dream, the way he knows you will understand. That way you have different genera in the Bible. So God will speak to you the way you will understand. Sometimes it is for you yourself, not for everyone. So you cannot come and claim we need to hide this in the Bible because you got it. Maybe it was for you. God will speak to you in the way you will understand. That's what I can say.
What they are saying is, you will not add your dream to the Bible. No, the Bible is complete. But your dream can be speaking, that God can be speaking to you through a dream for a specific reason. It's just yours. That does happen a lot. That does. And you look at the Old Testament, the New Testament is one of the vehicles that God uses. But the issue of interpreting, even understanding and interpreting, but God's Spirit will help you. You pray about it, and it does happen. It really does happen. But it doesn't mean I put it now. You even check it out with the scripture. You know, check it out with the scripture. If it's going against the scripture, then keep off. Keep off.
Wow, so let's give Prof a hand. Hey, a better hand, people. A better hand. Thank you very, very much for taking the time.
How many are doing Bible translation? Or are interested in Bible translation? Or doing theology? There we go. This is the newest book in Bible translation, 2019, A Guide to Bible Translation. It's really nice. And somebody, they say, you was truly, wrote quite a number of articles here in about some what is going on in Africa and other parts of the world. But it's really a book I would recommend. Lay your hands on it. This might be the only copy in Africa at the moment, but lay your hands on it. It is good. It's good.